All right, now I got to finish at least this session. All right, and so let's get back to this. We're talking about the spiritual intake, and so we're talking about now. Remember what I said. This has nothing to do with salvation or anything like this. But we're taking in the Word of God. Actually, I think I got a little zapper on here. We're taking in the Word of God in our lives. Okay, this is just you're reading the Word of God. You're studying the Word of God. You're memorizing the Word of God. You're hearing the Word of God. Whatever. But it's the Word of God in our lives. And that's what we want. You're coming to a men's retreat like this. You're talking with one another. It's iron sharpening iron. You're getting the Word in your lives. Gentlemen, it's getting up in the morning, getting into the Word of God. Now, I don't know when the best time for you is for getting in the Word of God. How many of you are morning people? Okay? Got a few hands. How many of you are night people? Okay, some of you are because you were up last night to all hours. Okay, how many of you don't know what you are? Yeah, okay, there you go. All right, let me just say this. I don't, you can make a case in Scripture for being, up early in the morning and being with God. You can make a case in Scripture for being up late at night and being with the Lord. Here's the bottom line. I don't care if it's the morning or if it's noon or if it's night. I had a man that said to me one time, he said, Mike, the mornings are hectic. I got a lot of kids. They're hectic at my house. He said, by the time I finish at night from working, I'm tired. He said, but my lunch hour, I take my lunch. I go sit in my car and I just have a wonderful time with Jesus. And I'm going, good for you, Or as they would say in Australia, good on you. That's his time. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter if it's morning, noon, or night. But here's what I have found. Whatever time, here's the bottom line for me. Give God your best time, not your leftover time. If your best time is in the morning, give him your morning. If your best time is night, give him your night. If your best time is noon, give him your noon. But give him your best time, not your leftover time. For me, my best time is the morning. Because here's what I have found out, okay? Here's the bottom line with my life. The only thing that it appears that I have control over is what time I get up to meet Jesus. Because once the rest of the world gets up, it just seems like the rest of I don't seem to have control over a whole lot of stuff. But I have control over what time I get up to meet Jesus. And so that's my best time. And that's the time I want to give him. So you find what time you have and do that. And let's get the Word of God in our lives because it's spiritual thinking. Spiritual thinking then produces right attitudes. Right attitudes brings about right action. You've got this little diagram in your notes there, okay? Brings about right action, and then right action brings about spiritual success. Now, I'm not talking about the church in Houston that meets in the stadium kind of success, okay? I'm talking about Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 success, and you can write Joshua 1:8 down there. Because that's the kind of success I'm talking about. If you want to, and I'll show you it at the end. I have a blog that I've been on a hiatus from my blog. I blogged from 2009 all the way until November, twice or three times a week, and then I had to take a hiatus because of some other responsibilities that my executive director asked me to do. And I'm picking that back up starting next week. And I'll be blogging on spiritual growth, leadership, youth ministry, those things. But my blog, in there, I'm referring to a couple of these things. But in Joshua 1:8, 2 Timothy 2:2, that's the kind of success I'm talking about. And so, with spiritual success. Now, here's the converse is true, okay? If we do not have the Word of God in our life, I believe we will have carnal thinking. That will produce wrong attitudes, which will produce wrong action, which will bring about spiritual failure. Now, let me illustrate that just a little bit. And let me pick on Joe over here, okay? And I've known Joe for a long time. I've called Joe Mr. Federhoff for about 100 years. Okay. So, but it, here's the thing. Let's say, you know, and Joe over here, he has a problem, and I go, Joe, he's acting wrong. And I go, Joe, you got to change the way you're acting. You just really got to change your actions. Oh, no, I know what it is. That's not it. It's not his actions. Joe, here's the problem. You have an attitude problem. You got to change your attitude. Okay, that's not really it either. You got to go back and you got to change what you're thinking. Now, how do you change somebody's thinking? You got to go back. The Bible talks about that, right? We talked about it this morning from the book of Romans, or actually last night or sometime. I don't know if we talked about it. It says, not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. And what does that? It's the Scripture. It's the Word of God. How do we change a life? I don't change a life. What? You don't change a life. The Scripture changes us. And if we want to change a person's actions and their attitude, you got to change their thinking. And if you're going to change their thinking, the thing that's going to do that is the Word of God. If I want my life to be different, I got to back up all the way to the Word of God in my life. When young people talk to me and they say, I want to know the will of God for my life, I ask them, how much of the will of God do you want to know? Because you know the will of God by the Word of God. That sounds like a maxim, but it's more than a maxim. Because you truly do know the will of God by the Word of God. And so the more of the Word you know, the more of the will you know. And so it's the Word of God. But for some reason, we look at this and we go, well, that's just too simple. I got to change the way they act. I just got to change their attitude. No. We've got to go back and we got to work at the core. And the core is their thinking, and their thinking is changed by the Word. And so we work on these things, and as we think through this, and we begin to realize that Satan is getting an advantage. See, we're spiritually anemic if we're not working through some of this. We got to understand that we're more vulnerable when we're spiritually anemic. We're more vulnerable to temptation. Satan wants to get a hold of our lives. Satan wants to take advantage of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He wants to take advantage of us in our lives. And the less I know about his devices, the more advantage he's going to take of me. We're more vulnerable to discouragement. I know a lady, and one of her favorite verses is, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, but yet she just everything is like the world is coming to an end. And she's discouraged all the time. Now, let me ask you a question. How does God guide us? God guides us, I believe, the Holy Spirit uses the Word to guide our decisions. Psalm 73 talks about this. Psalm 73, verse 24 says, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me unto glory, to thy glory. Thou wilt guide me with thy counsel. The counsel is the Word of God. Psalm 119:105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's the Word of God that God uses to guide us. And so therefore, again, how much guidance do I want? If he's going to guide me, he guides me with his Word. He gives me the direction from his Word. And so it's the Word of God that does that. Let me introduce you to a concept here. Okay, it's the Word of God. Let me give you an illustration that would be an illustration for you and me, gentlemen. Job 31:1 says this: I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? It's the idea of lusting or are thinking wrong thoughts about a lady. And so here I am. I'm walking down the street, and all of a sudden I see somebody, a lady walking down the street, and she's not dressed properly or whatever, and I begin to have the wrong thoughts, and I pray, and I say, God, help me. I don't want to think like that. Help me. Now, what happens at that moment? Follow me here. Not literally, but figuratively, the Spirit of God reaches into my mind, where I've hidden the scripture, our minds are kind of like a post office box. Okay, you've been in post offices where they've got the post office boxes, in Scroon Lake. I don't know about your town, but in Scroon Lake, our post offices would fit right here. Okay, and on that wall. Okay, now have you ever been in New York City? They go for miles. I mean, they're just like forever in the post office there. And some of us have Scroon Lake brains, and some of us have New York City brains. Some of us have more post office boxes than others. But our minds are kind of like that, and they're like little cubbies, I guess you could say. And we have little storage bins, and some of us have more than others. But so what happens is, not literally but figuratively, the Spirit of God reaches in one of those bins and he pulls out Job 31 verse 1, and he says, "Thou shalt," we've made a covenant of my eyes. Why would I lust? Why would I do this? And we go, "Thank you, Lord. That's what I needed." But what happens with most of us? We haven't made any preparation. We've not been in the Word. We've not hidden the Word of God in our heart or in our mind. So the Spirit of God, we pray, the Spirit of God reaches in, not literally, figuratively, reaches in, there's nothing there, boop, goes all the way through, okay? Not that we're airhead, but there's just nothing there. And there's no word to guide us. Because how does God guide us? He guides us with His Word. It's not just because I went to church on Sunday. And by the way, I applaud everything that Pastor Mark said about church and faithfulness. But just showing up is not enough. It's the Word of God and what we do. It's the actionable steps that we take with the Word once we're there. And we don't do anything with the Word. He guides us with His Word. And so we put the Word of God into our minds. And it's what we do with it after that. And so this is the foundation for what I want to lay for what we're talking about. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says this, but grow in grace. Now, by the way, that's a command. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. That is not a negative command. That's not a thing of, well, you have to do this. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, how do you do that? Henry, you need to memorize Scripture. Henry, you need to read your Bible. Henry, you need to have a quiet time. Boy, are you feeling overwhelmed yet? See, we all know that. We've all been told that. How do you do it? How do you take quiet time? We got quiet times back here, and we're talking about we ought to have a daily quiet time. How do you make that a part of your life? Well, let me just suggest. When I first came on staff with Word of Life, here's what happened to me. I about 6 months into being on Word of Life staff, I came to a crossroads in my life. And here was the crossroads. I realized that either I had to get a handle on my own personal life, and I had to begin to live what I was preaching, or I was going to have to resign and go get an honest job, because I couldn't keep preaching something that I wasn't living. Because I was going all over the world saying, you ought to have a quiet time, you ought to memorize Scripture, you ought to read your Bible, you ought to do it. And I either had to, and so what I'm sharing with you here, this is all stuff I was just wrestling to the ground. And I have continued to wrestle to the ground. I don't have, I can't say to you, I got this all figured out. I nailed it down. I wrapped a bow around it. And it's all good, guys. Now let me tell you about how I succeeded with it. No, I still have to wrestle it to the ground again and again. But I will tell you, this is something that has helped me. Okay? And it is not five easy steps, because there are no easy steps. Because there are, here's the truth. Here's what we're after. Okay? If you don't hear anything else, listen to this. Here's what we're after. There are days that I read my Bible and have a quiet time and memorize Scripture because I love Jesus and I can't wait to get up and spend time with Him. And there are days that I do it because I'm supposed to. Now, here's my goal. You ready? I want to have more days that I do it because I love Jesus and I can't wait to get up and spend time with Him, and less days because I'm supposed to. Now, the good news is right now, the supposed to days are shrinking. But I still have them. I don't know anybody that doesn't have them. If you do, you ought to get them to move next door to you and just be there just so you can get some of the Shekinah glory. Better than that, let them move next door to me, because they're close to perfect. I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, guys, that's where we all live. I got some days that I just get up and I do it because that's what I'm supposed to do. But they're fewer than they used to be. Okay? Is that fair enough? That's where we all live. You live there too, right, Josh? Okay. That's where we all live. So if we're all honest and that's where we all live, then we can all meet each other there and we move forward. Okay? Great. I just want to make sure there wasn't anybody perfect here. All right, so here it is. Here's when I show you this, you're going to go, this is like really, really basic. Well, remember, I'm from Alabama, okay? If I say anything profound, you need to write it down and share it with me, because it was an accident. Here we go. Here's the first thing. The first thing you got to realize is this. If we're going to grow, we're going to get a godly habit in our lives, the first thing we have to realize we need to. Here's what I'm going to do. Let's use quiet time just as our illustration. First thing I have to do is realize I need to have a quiet time. You say, well, everybody knows that. No, they don't. Go to church tomorrow, talk to most of the people that are going to be sitting in the church pew, and I can guarantee you, you'll find a good percentage of them that don't even know they need to have a quiet time. They don't even know they need it. Quiet time is the term I'm using. Daily devotions. They don't even know they need to have the daily devotions. The average church member doesn't have a clue that we may have daily devotions. It doesn't compute. So we have to realize, we have to start by saying, God, I need to do this. I need to read my Bible every day. I need to have daily devotions. That's the first step, and that's a big step. And for you as men to say, I need to do this and I need to be in the Word every day, that's huge. Now, to go from that step to this step, to make it an objective, this is what I'm going to do. You say, all right, that's really not a big deal. It is. I have surveyed pastors and leaders across the country. And here's what I will tell you. I've asked them across the country, what is the percentage of people in your churches that you think know that they need to be reading and studying the Bible on a daily basis? And here's the basic percentage that I usually get. It's usually right around 10 to 12%. And then when I ask, how many of them actually then move to the second tier of, okay, I know I need to now, it's an objective, I'm actually going to do something about it. It usually drops to about half of that. You say, well, it's different in my church. That's good. That's good. But I'm telling you, I've shared this information across the country, and it's not good across the country. It's not all well in Christendom. I need to do this, I'm going to do it. It's kind of like I need to start an exercise program. And I'm going to have this exercise program, and I'm going to get on my treadmill, and I'm going to do the treadmill 3 times a week. Okay, I'm going to do the treadmill 3 times a week. Okay, I'm going to do the treadmill 3 times a week. You know what I'm talking about, guys. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to read through the Bible this year. And I've started the Bible for 10 years in a row, and I've never gotten past Genesis, right? Or, okay, I'm going to go on a diet. But, oh, well, you know what I'm talking about. We how many times do we go from, I'm going to do that, I need to do this, to I'm going to do it, and it doesn't happen? We've got a billion of those illustrations. So from here to here is a big deal. So let's say quiet time. I need to have a quiet time now. I'm going to have a quiet time. Gentlemen, I'm just simply saying to you, if you and I are serious, that's the next step. That's the next step. And then when we go from there, then we go to the next thing. Now this is where we start getting serious. What is my program? What is my plan? Okay, so I need to have a quiet time. I'm going to have a quiet time. Now what is my program? All right, if you're a morning person, I'm going to get up in the morning. Here's the thing. If you haven't been having a quiet time, start out, I'm going to just spend 5 extra minutes. I'm just going to get up a few minutes early and spend 5 minutes. You go, well, that's not very spiritual. It's 5 more minutes than you were spending. Okay? Or I'm taking 5 minutes before I go to bed. It's 5 more minutes. See, it's kind of like prayer. I haven't been praying, so I got to pray. I'm going to spend 1 hour a day in prayer. You make a commitment like that, you're going to pray for everybody you know, every missionary in the world, everybody in your neighborhood, and 3 minutes are going to be gone by, and you'll go, now what am I going to do? Don't don't do that. Just say, I'm going to take 5 minutes. Or 3 minutes, or 1 minute, whatever. Just start out little, and then watch what happens. When all of a sudden 5 minutes isn't enough, and now you need 7, and now you need 10, now you need 15, but just start out with something. But here's my plan. Now, if you need something bigger, then you need a motivation, okay? Jack Werson used to say this, the founder of our ministry. Jack used to say, no Bible, no breakfast. Now, for some of you, that's no big deal. That'd be a big deal to me. I love breakfast. My favorite meal, I love it. For me, when I begin getting a discipline in my life, one of the things that motivates me is if I'm putting a new discipline in my life, I just simply say, I will not go to bed until I've done this. Now, whatever motivates you, just put it in. Just put it in, whatever. But here's my plan. This is what I'm going to do. Now, here's the next step. Ready? Methods and materials. Now, this is the fun thing, because we all like new stuff. New books, you see that new fitness program, you buy it and put it on your iPad, and you get all the new things. Whatever the new thing is, it got new equipment or whatever, I don't know, but we like new stuff. But new stuff doesn't make us do it. Methods and materials, what do you need? So for us, sorry, if you're going to have a quiet time, then you need a Bible, okay? You need a Bible, and if you're going to have like a really good, God-sent, Holy Ghost, Bible, you know, study, quiet time. You can have a word of life quiet time. No, I'm just joking. Not much. But if you need something. No, there's some tremendous devotionals out there. Or get a notebook and just record your thoughts. But you ought to be writing something down. Okay, journal. Write something down. Our quiet times. One of the things that I will push about our quiet times. That I, for you in your homes, particularly those of you that are fathers, is that our quiet times, and I haven't said this, if you don't know this, starting with the early learner ages 4, 5, and 6, going all the way through, if you have children at various ages, all of our quiet times are on the same passage. So it's not like you got children in all different passages. So if you're in the same passage, so you could have family devotions, and it's designed. I wrote a little booklet called Quiet Time Connect that shows you how to have family devotions. You can get it for free online at Word of Life. If you go to my website, you can get it there. The Quiet Time Connect, it tells you how to have family devotions based on the Word of Life Quiet Time Diary. And it's the only, I can tell you this, we are the only ministry in the world that has a quiet time for the entire family that connects, the only one. And so it's a great tool for that. But have something. So you need something, some tool. So find that tool. So I need to have a quiet time. I'm going to have a quiet time. Here's my program. Here's my methods and my materials. And now, what do you do next? You ready for this? Now you just got to do it. This is the tough part. This is the tough part. Now I just got to do it. It's the daily discipline. Now let me ask you a question. How long does it take to get a habit into your life? You can do the study with psychologists and so on, and they'll tell you, most of them will tell you that for a teen, it takes anywhere from about 6 weeks to 6 months for a teen to establish a habit. It takes an adult anywhere from 6 months to 6 years. Know the maxim, old dog, new tricks, you know? That's why it's better to have young people get involved now. That's why youth ministry is so vital. But it takes a while. For me, I usually commit a year. It's going to take me a good solid year. But if it takes me longer, it takes me longer. But take the time and get it into your life. Here's the thing for me. Here's a good indicator for me. If I go to bed and all of a sudden I remember that there's something that I had made a commitment to do and I didn't do it, and I can still lay there and not get up and take care of it, then I know it's not a part of my life yet. Well, I don't know whatever it is for you, but do the daily discipline. Now, in here also is the idea of accountability and having a good friend that's going to be holding you accountable, you know, so when I make a commitment like this to say, hey, Brother Mark, here's something I'm doing. Can you just help me with this? You know, like ram up my tailpipe a little bit on this and check it out. Pray as if you would. I'm in the process. I'm about two-thirds of the way through a book that I hope to release. It probably will not be to the end of the year or the first part of next year, a book on accountability that I'm writing, that I hope that it's called The Lost Art of Accountability, right? At least that's a working title right now, dealing with some of this. And so, but we need somebody to help us with that and just work through it day out, day in and day out. And so we've just begin working. Now, there's nothing, you're saying, this is just like really kind of a simple plan. Yeah, it is. There is no easy thing. There is no magic thing. It's just I need. I'm going to. Here's the program I'm going to follow. It'll be different for whatever you're doing. This is the methods and materials. This is what I need. If it's Bible study, it's this. If it's scripture memory, it's this. If it's something else, it's this. And you're just laying it out. And now here's the discipline. Here's how long I'm going to work on it to get it a part of my life. And then what do? When you know it's a part of your life, now you evaluate and you add something new. Don't try to do everything. Don't try to say, okay, you know, as I looked at Henry and said, you need to memorize scripture and read, you know, do Bible study and do quiet time. Don't try to do all that one time. You say, but I need to do all those things. Yeah, you do. But just go ahead and just start with one and make it a part of your life. You say, well, does that mean I shouldn't read my Bible while I'm doing that? No, do that. But make one thing a part of your life now. Just make one thing now. Just get a hold of that. What is it? What is the one thing? Is it quiet time? Is it scripture memory? Is it Bible study? What is the one thing right now that you think, if I could just make this a part of my life, a part of my spiritual DNA, if you would, it would just revolutionize my life. I just think this would be the key. For me, when I first got started, the thing I just really felt like I needed my mind to be really renewed. So I started with scripture memory. Because that's just what I felt like I needed. Now, I still was doing my quiet time. I still was reading my Bible. But the thing that I made sure that I did no matter what was scripture memory. And I was memorizing and reviewing and memorizing and reviewing. And I think the review is very important, by the way. So I had a system that I was working on, I still work on today, memorizing and reviewing. Now, I remember coming home from, I want to tell this story because I want to add to the point to this. Came home one night after I'd been out ministering, and it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I realized I hadn't done my memory and my review, and I was so tired, I thought, man, if I lay down, I just want to lay down. So, and I knew I was just too tired. I took my socks and shoes off and walked around on the cold linoleum floor so I could do my review. And you're going, man, this guy is spiritual. No, I was stupid. And here's why. I learned a really valuable lesson that night. If I had used my time more wisely during the day, I could have gone to bed like normal people. But I had wasted time during the day. So I started thinking about, wait, how can I use my time more wisely? And I started making 5 minutes my best friend so I could go to bed like normal people. See, staying up, walking around on cold linoleum floors didn't make me spiritual. Now, I decided that night I wasn't going to do that. I would do it if I had to, but that wasn't special. I just decided, wait a minute, I got to start using my time more wisely. And there's certain things I'd done during the day that wasted time that I didn't need to do. I just wanted to use the time better because this was more important to me than what I had been doing. And so what we need to do is say, wait, this is what I need to do. What is it that you need to do? What is it that would just change your life? Choose that and start today and do it. I don't know what it is. And whatever it is, you choose it and then tell somebody and get them to stay with you on it. Now, we're supposed to be done in what, 5 minutes? 7 minutes? 7 minutes. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to hit just a couple of quick things here, and then we're going to skip over, and then I'm going to send. I'll send down the balance of the notes because there's no way I'm going to finish the whole session. Because I want to skip over to something and show you something. The charts here. Let me explain them. These other notes, I'm going to get to you. I'll help you fill in all the blanks on all this stuff, okay? But I want to get here and I want to talk about not that. I want to talk about this. Okay. Wow, I got to go back. Wasn't that a neat effect? Okay, hold it. Yeah, there we go. Okay, all right. I have no earthly idea how that works. My administrative assistant did it. Okay. You've got this in your notes here. I want to take a moment and have you. Disciplines I plan to develop in my life are discipline, okay? That's the need and objective. I plan to develop these in program, materials, methods. When I plan to start, that's the date and daily living. Okay. I know we're right on the edge of time, and so you can take this home with you. You don't have to do this right this minute unless you like, no, bam, it's already hit you, and you know, a couple of you are already writing because obviously it already hit you. But if you know something right now and you say, man, this is it, I mean, you started, say, this is the discipline I need to do. It's quiet time, it's scripture memory, it's Bible study, whatever. But if you want to put it down. But here's the thing, gentlemen, I just want to challenge you. If there's something that God puts on your heart for that next level, that next step that's going to help you to move forward in your faith, don't just leave here and go, well, you know, I thought about it, but I think I'm done. No, take the next step. Just take the next step. And can I tell you this? This is what Watchman Nee wrote a book years ago entitled The Normal Christian Life. The Normal Christian Life. And in that book, he talks about these types of things. And the thing I like about it is that he talks about the things that we now think about as super Christian living, and he reminds us in that book that it's not. These are the norms. These ought to be the norms for us, that we ought to just be walking with God. Now, I want to show you something else that, as well. This is what I call a spiritual growth chart. Someone shared this with me when I started talking about this idea of spiritual integration and growing and so on. And somebody shared this with me way back when I first started in on my journey. And I want to just tell you, I have been using this for over 35 years. I still use it today. Now, my wife will tell you, when I say I'm a disciplined person, she would laugh because she would say, no, you've got to put extremely in front of that. You've got to put, you know, some kind of X in front of it. You know, she thinks I'm overboard some days, but I use it because it's just, I believe, you know, Word of Life sometimes around our place, we say you get what you inspect and not what you expect. And so this is something that I use, and still, if you looked at my iPad, I still put these together and use them. What it is very simply, it's just an opportunity for you, whatever the discipline that you're interested in your own personal life, you can put that in there. And this is not a legalistic thing. Now, let me just say it this way. If this is all about you and that, then it's legalism. But if this is about a love relationship that you're tracking, then it's all about motive. And so it's up to you. But here's the thing. Anything that's important to me, I keep up with. Anything that's important to me, I track. Anything that's important to me, I want to make sure that I'm on top of it. My relationship with God is important to me. It's important to me. And so I don't publish these. I have two accountability partners, and I give them to the accountability partners. And that's it. Other than that, nobody else ever sees them. And on mine, I have the things that I have committed to, but I want to tell you this. I go a couple of steps further. I've got on there about my own personal physical exercise, but I also have on there something called purity. And I've explained to them what that means. That doesn't just mean that I, you know, was immoral, but I explain to them what that means for me so that they can ask questions, so that if there's blanks on my chart, they can ask me, wait a minute, okay, what happened here? Because I want to tell you, I'm tired of hearing the stories. So something like this can be used for a lot of different things, gentlemen. And it might be something within a group like this that you'd want to use to help each other and walk in with your journey. But it's just something that a lot of us use within our ministry. And you say, well, isn't that something that guys use when they're just kind of new in their Christian faith? Well, some of us that have been walking with the Lord only 40 years use it because we're new in our Christian faith and we need help. And it just might be something that would be helpful for you. I share it with you just simply, maybe something that's helpful. The idea is we need to be serious about our personal walk with God. If you, you know, I'll send the rest of the notes to Pastor Josh, and then he can get them to everybody and all. If we think about our own personal lives, and we think about the idea, I'll put this up here. If you're on Twitter, I'm on Twitter, Facebook. That's my email if you'd like to communicate. And then this is my website. My website has been down for a while. It should be back up by the end of the week, the new and improved one. The old one has been down, but it should be back up. And my blog should be back up. And then you can search it for old articles as well. If you're on any of those, I'm also on Instagram and LinkedIn. I just don't have those up there. If you're interested. So I would love to communicate with you if I can be of any help. But I hope that perhaps this is something. Usually when I get finished with this session, I always stand there and I look at it and I go, you know, there's nothing profound about it. It's so simple. Sometimes I think people look at it as well and go, well, I don't know what benefit it is. But there's usually two or three that look at it and grab it. And hopefully you can it'll be as helpful to you as it has been to me.